So I had Bible study all prepared out of 1 Samuel, and I was getting ready for, I have a King James conference I'm preaching in Michigan here in another week or so. So I've been working, preparing some stuff beforehand for that. And so after studying for Bible study tonight, yesterday, I got tangled up with some other stuff on just some King James stuff that I found and was going through and verifying numbers and all that. And so we're going to take a little rabbit trail tonight, and just I thought that you might enjoy this. As you know, in the King James Bible, we believe, as we've stressed so often, that every word of it's true. And for what I'm going to show you here, I'm sure that, you know, most of these things will not work in a new version. The important thing you need to realize about, you know, us saying, you know, we're King James Bible believers. We believe each word of the Bible. We believe each word's holy. That somebody with an NIV or an NASV or a ESV or whatever V they have, besides an SUV, that they don't even make the point, because it's outside of their frame of reference that they would have a Bible in their laps that are perfect. That's perfect. And so they don't debate words. And that's why I believe you have such, frankly, stupid Christians today, because they have Bibles that they don't believe the words in as they appear, because everybody's always going and telling them to go back to the Greek and go back to the Hebrew, and this doesn't really mean this, it should be translated this, etc., etc. And so you wind up with things messed up. The other thing about us, I suppose, and I, to some degree, it's, I guess it's true in other groups, is that, you know, the numerology has an interesting take. We know that numbers mean something, and that God does to stuff in numbers. And after seeing this tonight, I'm wondering, you know, what else, you know, is to be dug up, because this is revolves around sevens. And this is just a bunch of stuff that I think verifies that your Bible is something special. I believe that what you see in it is the handiwork of God. And what if this is true, well, this is true. This being true, there's probably a lot of other stuff involved. Now, for instance, let me take you tonight to Matthew 1 to start. We're not going to turn an awful lot, but you're going to turn some. For instance, take the name of Jesus Christ, for instance. New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Like I said, this revolves around sevens. You're going to hear sevens all night through this Bible study, however long that takes. Okay, so count. Count the words up to Jesus. Jesus. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Jesus is the seventh word. Is that right? So on the seventh word in the New Testament, Jesus shows up. Go to the end of the New Testament, Revelation chapter 22. And go to the last verse and count backwards from the end of the last verse, seven words. What do you find there? Isn't that interesting? Seven words in, it's Jesus, and seven words from the end, it's Jesus. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 3. Now you're going to see that you can't count every time that we say this, but you can go, you can make a note and go check it out later. But Luke chapter 3 is the genealogy, one of the two genealogies of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And if you will, starting down in verse, 23, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. So you're starting with Jesus and going back to, you know, his stepfather, and then all the way back to Adam. When you go back and you count each of those words, counting Jesus himself, if you go and count back to each father that begat a son, you go all the way down through verse 38. How many How many generations do you have? Okay, don't count. But there are 77. So starting with Jesus and going all the way back to Adam and then to God, since Adam was the Son of God, right? 77. 77 generations. I just meant to get this out. It probably helped to see this. Like I said, this is all about sevens tonight. No way I can remember these numbers. As it turns out, the 610,282nd word in the Bible is the first word of the New Testament. Okay? So the New Testament starts with the. And so that's 610,282 words in. Now, you might see different counts in different places, but I think this is right. The Bible has 790,849 words in it. So, the 610,282nd word is the first word of the New Testament. Would anybody care to guess what percentage, on what percentile that word lands? 77%. I think that word is something like 0.7716, etc. So multiply by 177%. It's kind of cool. I wonder how many times the word seven occurs in Genesis and then in Revelation. 77. I wonder how many times amen occurs in the Bible capitalized. There's only one non-capitalized amen, by the way. So all the capitalized amens in the Bible come to 77. Now, you think the Lord has anything to do with sevens? We've all heard the thing about, you know, seven notes on the piano and seven and seven. And seven is a number of completion all the way through the Bible. You've probably read Doc's book on it and all that numerology. This just keeps piling on, right? In Genesis 1, if you go back through and count the words that God spoke, you would come up with 343 words. Does anybody know another way to write that number? 7 times 7 times 7. In Matthew 1, if you went and counted the words that God spoke directly, you would count 49 words. It's probably just a coincidence. And I'm betting good money, and I'm not a betting man, I'm betting good money that the new versions you can't do this with. Go back to Genesis 1 for just a second. Now, some of this, there's just, you know, I know that there's a way to do this, and it goes too far. The Bible's not a Ouija board, okay? And it's not a, what do you call those? It's not a puzzle. I'll just put it that way. I forgot what the word is I was looking for. But in Genesis 1:1, do me a favor and count seven letters from the beginning and then tell me what the next letter is. G? Right? Okay. Skip to the next letter. Count seven more letters. Then what is the next letter? Then skip to the next letter and count seven. And then tell me what the next letter is. Ain't that weird? Like I said, I'm not for doing something where you're... you don't use the Bible as a Ouija board, okay? And some of the nutcases have tried to go to Greek and Hebrew and count words and make the Bible, you know, some sort of an enigma-type puzzle. And it's not that. So I show you that one with a little bit of, you know, anxiety that you don't try to go do that and make the Bible say something it doesn't. But wonder how many times the word Sabbath is in the Old Testament. And then the next, of course, then the next time it occurs would be in the New Testament. 77 times. Most High occurs in the Bible 49 times. 7 times 7. The phrase Word of God occurs in the Bible. Anybody want to guess? No, 49 times. 7 times 7. The 77th occurrence of the word sacrifice in the Bible is Numbers 7, 77. The 77th occurrence. And look, if anybody wants my notes after this, you can have them. I'll send them to you, okay? Because you may not be able to keep up. So just so you know, I'm open for that. 77th occurrence of the word sacrifice in the Bible is in Numbers 7, 77. If you look up the phrase Old Testament and then New Testament, I wonder how many times those two phrases show up total. 7. No, it's actually 1 and 6. The middle verse of the New Testament, most all of these I can confirm. I confirmed them. In fact, I spent quite a bit of time confirming counts and stuff. There's a couple of them that I didn't. So I'm taking the guy at his word on this one, although I couldn't verify some that some of the things that he brought up where I was researching this. But supposedly the middle verse of the New Testament is Acts 7:7. Just thought you might like to know. What's so funny? Eden. All right. The word Godhead shows up in the Word of God 3 times. Shows up in Acts 17:29. It shows up in Romans 1:20. And it shows up in Colossians 2:9. The number of words in those verses, 31 words, 35 words, 11 words. Isn't that weird? Wonder how many times Jehovah shows up in the Bible? 7 times. Wonder how many times the word, capitalized, shows up? 7 times. The phrase Holy Spirit, with, you know, every capitalization that the Bible presents, is still 7 times. If you will, turn to Matthew chapter 22. Yeah, man wrote this book. Yeah, man did it. And the King James translators were responsible altogether for the King James. Right? I speak tongue-in-cheek, in case you didn't realize that. I know I've been doing that a lot lately, but Matthew 22. In Matthew chapter 22, go down to verse 44. Matthew 22 and verse 44, where you read, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." That's out of Psalms 101, I believe. But, yeah, 110, I'm sorry. Okay, but you see, the first time the word Lord with a capital L-O-R-D, all caps, in the word, that's the first time the all capitalized Lord shows up in the New Testament. It shows up in Matthew 22. And there are 777 words that precede it in the chapter. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Like I said, some of these I was able to verify, or most of these I was able to verify. I'll give you a couple in a second I wasn't, because it's just, you know, my Bible program wouldn't do what his would do, apparently. And if I couldn't verify it, I wasn't going to teach it. So 2 Corinthians 13, and going down to the last verse of the chapter, it says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." Okay. Jesus in the verse. The grace of the Lord Jesus. Jesus in the verse is actually the 777th mention of Jesus in the New Testament. Now that's subtracting the Jesus of Acts 7:45, where the Lord, you know, Jesus and Joshua, I've taught you, are interchangeable names. It's the same name in Hebrew. So because he was talking about Joshua in Acts 7, I discounted that one. So this Jesus here in 2 Corinthians 13, 14 is the 777th mention of Jesus in the New Testament. It so happens that Holy Ghost, towards the end of the verse, is the 77th mention of the Holy Ghost in the New Testament. So in one verse you have the 777th mention of Jesus and the 77th mention of the Holy Ghost. Man wrote that book, don't you think? By the way, Jesus is mentioned 980 times in the New Testament. Now, there's three subtractions. One subtraction is from Acts 7, like I said, because that Jesus is a reference to Joshua, right? No problem with the language. Another case like that is in Colossians chapter 4, where a guy named Justus is also called Jesus, so it's plainly not Jesus Christ. The other place is in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, or 4, verse 8, where the same thing happens. So 980 references to Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And this gets a little wonky, but if you add 70 plus 70, you wind up with 140. If you multiply that by 7, you equal 980. Quite a coincidence, I'd say, anyway. the Son, capital S Son, and God, capital S God, show up together in 77 verses in the New Testament. Beloved Son, in reference to Jesus. Now, there's a couple of beloved sons. Paul had a beloved son, Timothy, and so on. So discounting human, mortal human beloved sons, beloved son referring to Jesus occurs seven times in the New Testament. Jesus Christ shows up seven times in Revelation. The phrase, His love, shows up seven times in the Bible. The first mention of it is in Deuteronomy 7, 7. It's just wow. Love, capitalized, capital L-O-V-E, shows up seven times in the Bible. Now, this I could not verify, and you'll understand, you'll just have to understand why I couldn't verify it. But according to something I looked at, and if I can get his Bible program, I might try it. But the 777,000th, 777th word of the New Testament is found in 1 John, and it is, it's love. It wouldn't be a the or a the or anything like that. Look in Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Okay? Now that is fulfilled. That is the first prophecy, scriptural prophecy said to be fulfilled in the New Testament. That is fulfilled in Matthew 1, 22 and 23. And of course, it's Jesus Christ. And I know this is a little wonky too, maybe a little bit. But remember, the reference is Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7, 7 plus 7. Still works out as sevens. Okay, I know that one's not as good, but. Okay, now here's one. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. Go down to verse 13. When Jesus came unto the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, and one of the prophets. Saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And we can stop there, but in verse 13, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus, that happens to be the 77th time in the New Testament that the word Jesus is used. And this, of course, is where Simon Peter says he's Christ. Now, if you'll go down to verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That Christ there in the middle of that verse represents the seventh time in the New Testament that Christ is mentioned. So in one passage, Matthew 13, Jesus, that is the 77th time Jesus shows up. He shows up and asks Peter, "Whom do men say that I am?" Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that Christ is the seventh time in the New Testament that Christ is used. Now, interestingly, in verse 16, see the word Christ, then count seven words forward. And the next word is Jesus. Now, the other thing about that is, this will make sense in a second. Who showed Simon Peter that? Verse 17. "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but who did? My Father." So God the Father showed him that. Is that right? Okay, take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 10. Okay, 10:36. Acts 10:36. "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." Okay, that Christ in verse 36 is the 77th time Christ is used in the New Testament. And the interesting part about that is Peter is in the middle of being sent to Cornelius and the Gentiles, right? And as you go through this, you see, you know, that Simon Peter's trying to figure out what in the world's going on. The sheet is let down from heaven and all these unclean animals come out and rise, Peter, kill and eat. Oh, no, I can't do that. Don't call unclean what I've cleansed, and so on and so forth. Okay, this passage is the Holy Spirit showing Simon Peter that he can take the gospel to the Gentiles, right? That is, the Holy Ghost is showing him that. On the 77th time that Christ is used in Acts 10:36. Now remember from Matthew 16, Peter has been shown by the Father that Jesus is indeed the Christ. There's one more. Look in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. "Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, Jesus Christ there. That Jesus Christ in verse 3 is the 77th time that Jesus Christ shows up in the New Testament. And notice down in verse 12, "For I neither received it of man," talking about the gospel and the things that he received to preach to the Gentiles. "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Who revealed that to Paul? Jesus Christ. So I'm saying, a review. Matthew 16, the 77th time Jesus shows up, Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," and that's the seventh time Christ is used. The 77th time Christ is used, and that was the Father showing him that. In Acts 10, it's the Holy Ghost showing Peter that he can take the gospel to the Gentiles on the 77th time the Bible uses the word Christ in the New Testament. And then on the 77th time, the Bible uses Jesus Christ as a phrase. Jesus has shown Paul some things that he takes to the Gentiles. That's all I got. But that book is not written or translated by men. Again, you can't do this with new versions, and nobody, just importantly, nobody would. You don't find a John MacArthur or any, you know, dork brain new evangelical getting on and claiming that the Bible that they're reading from is the very words of the living God. And that's why they won't do a Bible study, because they don't believe the words anyway. And they would never go through something like this, because they don't believe those words are absolute, settled, pure words. We are the only Bible believers, our brand, King James Bible believers, that even believe we have a perfect Bible in our language. Okay? Now, there are some flaky King James people who are still trying to go back to the Greek and Hebrew. Okay? And I call them King James kinda. I'm not King James kinda. I'm King James all the way. Because I believe I'm not going to change any of the words, because if I change any words, then I'm going to mess up counts, like these counts. And I'm going to mess up connections, like we're supposed to be comparing spiritual things with spiritual, right? And that's how we're learning the Bible. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I just thought I'd throw that at you tonight as a change of pace, kind of a curveball. There's a lot of stuff there. If any of you, well, I'll just probably just generally plan to send it appended copy to all of you, your email, if that's okay. If somebody doesn't want it, just let me know. But anyway, any questions or comments? I think it's cool. And it makes me, now stop and think, that's just seven, right? You know that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and a lot of other numbers mean things in the Bible. I wonder what somebody would find if they went and did all that. Yes, sir. Right. It would be, I mean, James Strong burned his eyes out for the better part, I think, of 35 years putting together the Strong's Concordance. I mean, you got to think, he had to account for all the A's and V's and so on, of's and fours. And so he burnt his eyes out for, you know, 35 years putting it together. And by the way, he was not a Bible believer like we are. He had a little part of the Revised Version Committee. But nevertheless, the work he did was right. And so now, of course, for the last 30 or 40 years, we've had computer word processing scenarios where we could, you know, can do this kind of stuff. And you kind of have to shop for the right Bible program, because some of the Bible programs are flaky, and mine doesn't track words like his did. That's why I couldn't verify the 777th word, is because I would have to literally count words. And I ain't going to do that. But it's, you know, I'm going to see about trying to find what he was using. But it's pretty awesome. All right. I think we can probably, any questions or comments? Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Right. Yeah, having thought of the numbers. Hey, on the, let's make the 777th word love. That would be so cool. No. One more verse, okay? You guys know. Job 32. Now, we know all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? So I have no problem with that. The Scripture was given by inspiration. God inspired the Scripture. Now, obviously, He inspired the Scripture in Greek and Hebrew and a little bit of Chaldean, right? Aramaic. And so you're still left, if all we have is an inspired, preserved Scripture, still leaves us a little bit out in the cold. But there's another inspiration in the Bible that scholars won't deal with. There's only two times inspiration shows up in the Bible. Here's the first one, Job chapter 32, verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Got to be careful I use the word, but it wouldn't be unbiblical to say that whatever it is that you understand from the Bible, you understand it because you were inspired. Now, I don't mean you were inspired to write new Scripture or anything like that, but the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. We all would say, and most scholars would say without any qualm, that, a man can't understand the Bible unless the Holy Spirit shows him. But that they would gnaw off their right leg before they would say, and that's inspiration. Because to them, inspiration is only the breathing out of the Scripture when it was written. And according to the Bible, that's not the case. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. I think that in some regard, when the little light bulb, as low watt as it is, that goes off over your head, I believe that's inspiration of the Lord. When the Lord says, bing, you go, oh. It's inspiration. I do. I think the Holy Spirit showed you that. You put a little brain power to it and worked something, rolled something around in your 2 pounds of brains for long enough that you finally got it. But I think that the Lord showed you that. And I think that when it came to the King James translators, that the Lord got in the midst of those 47 men and did something that's never been equaled. So he had 47 supreme scholars. So they carry with this supreme scholarship, each one of them, a knowledge of his craft. And I'll call it this, and maybe it wasn't, a pride. You know how a craftsman has a certain pride in his work? So when the electrician comes along and tells the carpenter what to do, the carpenter hits him with a hammer. Right? Because don't tell me my business. Well, these 47 scholars are all sitting around a table checking each other's work. How are you going to get 47 supreme scholars to agree about anything? You can't get 47 scientists together to agree about a single thing, uniformly. I believe that the Holy Spirit got in the King James Translation Committee. And you say, well, that could happen for the NIV committee too. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. It doesn't happen anywhere else. So I earnestly think that the Lord's inspiration was involved in the translation of the Bible He wanted us to have. And it wasn't in the RV committee or the ASV committee or the new ASV committee or the ESV committee or the ISV committee or the HIV committee or the SUV committee. Jim, sorry.
Great tribulation. So man is so concerned
Yeah. Yeah. You want to come stand up here? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. All right, let's sing a couple here before we go. In fact, what do y'all want to sing tonight?